traveling to a far-off place is exciting, but what if you also had a chance to really know some of the local people and got to do work that will make a lasting difference? That could be life-changing. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're going to talk about voluntourism, Iowans traveling the world to do good. Students and faculty members of Kirkwood Community College traveled to Tanzania, where they helped care for young children, took care of AIDS patients, and participated in other projects. I'll talk with three people who took that trip. Later in the hour, I'll talk to the executive director of IRIS Incorporated, Iowa Resource for International Service, about the international exchanges they facilitate. Join our conversation after the news. This is an archive edition of Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're going to talk about an increasingly popular kind of travel that has been dubbed voluntourism, Iowans traveling the world to do good. Later this hour, I'll talk with Del Christensen. He is the executive director of IRIS Incorporated. That's Iowa Resource for International Service. I'll also talk with Cameron Good, who traveled to Tanzania with IRIS to play football. But first, this past June, students and faculty members of Kirkwood Community College traveled to Tanzania to participate in a number of different service projects. And I'm going to talk with three different people who took the trip. We'll start with Jim Cochran. He teaches developmental math at Kirkwood Community College. And Jim, you were the faculty member on this trip, right?
That's correct, Charity.
So were you involved in deciding where you were going to go in the whole organizational process?
Yeah, that's correct. Back last August, there was a call from our study abroad department for a faculty leader to go somewhere with the organization Cross Cultural Solutions. And one of the trips that stood out to me was the trip to Africa, Tanzania, and I wrote the proposal to lead the students there. So,
with this program, Cross Cultural Solutions, how many trips have there been of Kirkwood Community College students, and where have they gone?
This is the first trip with Cross Cultural Solutions. They offered a great fellowship for students. Harris T. Wolford came through with program fees for community college students around the country. And so this is Kirkwood's first trip with Cross Cultural Solutions, but they've had numerous trips to other parts of the world, Guatemala, Costa Rica. They go to Rome. But as far as service learning, this was the first one with Cross Cultural Solutions.
What made you want to get involved?
I've always wanted to lead a trip abroad with students. I taught in Japan for a couple of years back between 1999 and 2001. And when I came to Kirkwood, I knew there was great opportunities to take students abroad. And I've been trying to do that for numerous years and was writing a proposal to go to Japan. But then the tsunami put those plans on hold. And with this opportunity, I just jumped on it and wrote the program, and it all fell into place and worked out great.
This kind of program, as I mentioned, seems to be getting more popular. Of course, there are a lot of ways that people have been traveling the world to volunteer for many years, with church groups, etc. But this kind of service learning through community colleges, through universities, seems to be a growing field. Why do you think it's important for Kirkwood to offer a program like this to its students?
Well, I think it's an awesome opportunity for the students. And with this fellowship and also the students that have a good GPA, they get a $1,000 scholarship through the foundation. I like the mix of the educational experience with the volunteer experience. The students can earn credit hours towards their degree. So it's not just the volunteering, but also we get to learn cultural things on the side.
How many people went on this trip?
On this trip, there was seven students and then four faculty members. But the faculty members that went, they received a fellowship from our board, and they had to go as students also, required to do all the coursework that any other student had to do.
And what kind of coursework was involved in this?
We had preliminary meetings. They had to do readings about the country. They had to do a project to present at the end. They have to do three presentations, one to the public, one to peers, and then one to the faculty. So things like that getting them prepared.
There were a number of different service opportunities for the students who went on this trip. Can you give me an overview of some of the things that they got involved in?
Yeah, the nice thing with Cross-Cultural Solutions is that you fill out an interest survey and they will place you in country in a field that you're interested in. So, for example, I was placed in teaching elementary school students. Some of the other students were teaching younger elementary students in preschool. And then some of the healthcare students worked in working with AIDS patients and rehabilitation with AIDS patients. So mainly in education or health field was where we did our volunteerism.
How long were you actually in the country?
We were there for 3 weeks.
So tell me about your experience. You were teaching fifth graders, you said?
That's correct, at Mwasama Primary School. We had a little time to adjust to the country, about 3 days, and then we were taken to our volunteer placement by shuttle in the morning. Some of us walked. My placement was a little further away. First day, a little nervous, got dropped off, went in and met the principal of the school. He looked at the calendar and told me that fifth grade didn't have a teacher and that I was more than welcome to go in there and teach that class. I walked in and there was 21 students sitting there staring at me, wondering what I was going to do. And I just said, "Hi, I'm Jim Cochran. Let's learn a little math today." And I was lucky. The school I worked at, the students' English ability was excellent. And so I didn't have any communication problems with them, but it was a little interesting to just be thrown into the classroom with no teacher in there and really no guidance of what to do.
But, and no curriculum?
They had one math textbook in there, and the students knew which page they were on. So I started working from that page. The first story problem I did on the board was adding fractions together, and the book must not have been reviewed very well because the problem actually didn't work out well. And So it was an interesting experience, but we had a great time. I read to them, did math with them. Sebastian, my son, made a book about the United States. I shared that with them. They loved seeing pictures. It was interesting when they looked at pictures that I presented with them. They often didn't look at maybe the people in the picture, but they were looking more at the background, like at the houses and the lawns.
Oh, interesting. So you were there for 3 weeks, which probably seemed like a significant amount of time to you. Of course, the students are in school for far longer than that. What happened to that class when you left, if there wasn't a teacher there to start with?
Yeah, that's very interesting. During the day, we would leave the school about lunchtime. So we volunteered in the morning, and then the afternoon we had other activities that we were involved with Cross-Cultural Solutions. And I went to the principal of the school and said, well, it's time for me to leave today. Class 5 doesn't have a teacher in there. And he said, they'll be fine. And so it was quite interesting that I never really did figure out, you know, I noticed they copied things out of textbooks when I was leaving or when I was coming in. So they had some guidance that they were supposed to be doing that. But as far as, you know, I'm not really sure what happened after that with them. I know that there was more volunteers coming in with Cross-Cultural Solutions, but you know, if there wasn't a volunteer there, I think the teachers probably rotated around and kind of kept them on track a little bit.
All right. Well, I want to talk to you more about what you took away from the experience, but at this point I want to bring Lisa DeShano into the conversation. She also was a student volunteer who went along on the trip. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Charity. Thanks for having me here.
What part of the program did you participate in?
I was lucky enough to be part of teaching in schools as well. And I taught at AMAP, which was an artist school for children ages 3 to 9. And they were this was a school that was started by a local artist for children who their families couldn't afford to send them to school. So it was really neat to work with those children. And I was able to teach math to them, and they really did learn.
And so tell me what your day was like.
So I was able to actually walk to my placement. So there were three other volunteers, two other ones from Kirkwood, and then another woman from Australia who we would walk. It was about maybe about an 18-minute walk or so from where we were staying, and it was really neat to kind of interact with the local community on our way there. And we would stop at the local store and make copies if we needed to for worksheets and things. And then we would get to the school, and the children would stand up and say, "Good morning, madam." And they would ask us how our morning is. And then we would just interact with them a little and then start teaching. There were three different classrooms there. First 3 to 5 year olds, and then 5 and 6 year olds, and then 7 through 9. And we would just teach math according to their level.
And did you spend more of your time in one classroom than another, or did you kind of rotate around?
It rotated around. It started in the morning. You would teach one class, and then they would have a break, and then we would teach another class at the first day. So we would work just the 5 days during the week. And then during their break, we would go outside and stand in a circle and sing songs and dance and play games.
What kind of language skills, English language skills, did your students have?
Most of our children did speak Swahili, their native language. Some of them were able to speak a little bit of English. We were fortunate enough to have teachers in our classroom, native teachers who could speak both English and Swahili. So if there was a problem with translation, they could translate the directions for the children.
So math is kind of an international language in some ways. Did you learn to count in Swahili so you could communicate with the kids?
A little bit. A little bit. The kids were always excited to teach us their language as well. But they really wanted to learn more English. So we concentrated more on English than we did on Swahili.
And did you concentrate your English then on math terms and counting, that kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah, we did work a lot with the counting and reading. We also read a lot of books to them too, and had them color things. And we tried to make their room, since it was kind of an artist school, we tried to make their room a little bit more colorful. Like we would have them trace their hands and then color them and say, "We have 5 fingers," and things like that. So.
Jim mentioned earlier that the afternoon was spent with cross-cultural solutions activities, and I want to get into what some of those activities were as well in just a moment. Dave Hunt is going to join us. He was also on the trip, and he worked with HIV and AIDS patients while he was on the trip. We're talking today about volunteerism, Iowans traveling the world to do good. Jim Cochran is with me. He teaches developmental math at Kirkwood Community College in Iowa City, and he was the faculty leader on this trip. Lisa DeShano is a student volunteer. She went on the trip to Tanzania in June. And we also want to hear about your experiences traveling the world. I'm Charity Nebbe, and this is an archive edition of Talk of Iowa. You're listening to an archive edition of Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about volunteerism. That's Iowans traveling the world to participate in service projects. Coming up later this hour, I'm going to talk to Del Christensen. He's executive director of IRIS Incorporated, based in Ames. That's the Iowa Resource for International Service. I'll also talk to a student from Drake University who coincidentally went on a trip with IRIS to Tanzania and played in the first American football game in Africa on that trip. We'll talk with him a little bit later on. Right now, we're focusing on a program through Kirkwood Community College that also went to Tanzania in June. And we do want to hear from you as well. If you've gone on this kind of service trip before, we'd love to hear about your experiences and what it meant to you, what you took away from the experience, and what you think you left behind. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me in the studio, Jim Cochran. He teaches developmental math at Kirkwood Community College, and he was the faculty leader of this trip. Lisa DeShano, a student volunteer who went on the trip to Tanzania. And I also want to welcome now Dave Hunt into the conversation. He went on the trip as a student, I believe, but it is actually a faculty member at Kirkwood Community College, program director for the paramedic program. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
And what was the part of the program that you participated in Tanzania?
I actually worked with UKUN, which is an organization that provides some in-home care for HIV and AIDS patients.
And what did you do on a daily basis?
Our morning kind of started off with making a plan of kind of the handful of patients that we were going to see for the day. And we walked around their home, walked around to their homes, and got to kind of do some in-home care with some of the patients.
What kinds of things did you need to do to help these patients?
A lot of them were seeing some of the side effects from some of the medications, so they'd have some numbness in their legs or maybe couldn't walk well or have had other medical complications along with their HIV and AIDS. So a lot of the patients, we spent time doing some kind of in-home physical therapy, talked a little bit about their nutrition, making sure they were taking the right medications and really trying to help them get some of those activities that we would consider to be normal daily activities back into part of their life.
How sick were the people you were working with?
It varied a little bit from house to house, but like one of our patients was 31 years old and weighed 66 pounds. So she had been very sick with the disease process, but she was kind of on the recouping side of it. And, you know, we really worked with her on being able to walk and nutrition.
What other kinds of things did you do with these patients beyond physical therapy?
Some of it was really just some social aspects, too. A lot of them get to the point where they can't get around, so they don't get to see a lot of people. So just spending some time with them and their families and, you know, even playing a little bit with the kids to just kind of make sure that they're getting some social interaction as well. And they were always very interested to hear about our families and some of the things that were very similar to their families.
Now, of course, Africa, many parts of Africa are in the midst of a horrible AIDS epidemic. In this country, there's still something of a stigma when somebody is HIV positive or has AIDS. Did you find that there? Was there kind of a lack of social interaction, too, because people were avoiding others who had this disease?
Yeah, there was certainly some of that. They're working very hard to destigmatize AIDS, but, you know, the HIV and AIDS patients still have a separate entrance into their hospital. And some of the resources, you know, that they don't have, especially to take care of the HIV and AIDS patients. So they have to reuse some things on the HIV and AIDS side of the hospital, which was quite shocking for us as healthcare providers.
You actually took some of the patients down to the beach to see the ocean.
Yeah, we took a handful of our patients to the ocean. The community that we were in is, you know, right on the ocean. And one of the children that we took with us, he had never been to the ocean. And, you know, they live in a community where they're within walking distance. And it was kind of funny to watch him because he was scared of the waves actually coming in, but still wanted to be out there. But every time the wave would come in, he was a little bit scared of it.
What was that like to take them to the beach?
It was really rewarding. Some of them, the one lady that we took was blind, so she couldn't see the ocean, but she loved to be able to hear the ocean. So it was very relaxing to her. We also took some of the patients who were having difficulty with walking and got them in the ocean so they can move their legs around a little bit more and hopefully try to build a little bit of strength in their legs. And they also just enjoyed getting to see the beach and some of the other aspects of being on the ocean front there. They had lived in the town, most of them, their whole lives, but have limited opportunities now to actually get down to the oceanfront.
Now, I mentioned this earlier with Jim. You were there for 3 weeks, which is a significant trip to take, but really just a drop in time for the people who you were helping. Do you feel like you made a difference in 3 weeks of working with these patients?
I think so. I mean, it was one of our patients. She wasn't able to walk when we arrived just due to some numbness in her legs, and they had been working with her for several months to help with this. Just prior to our arrival, her mother had passed away, who was really helping take care of her family. So it was really just her and her son that were left, and she knew that she needed to be able to walk to kind of help support her son. So we worked with her a lot, almost on a daily basis, to help build strength. And by the time we left, she was actually walking some on her own, and she was able to walk a pretty decent distance with kind of the aid of a stick, using it as a cane. So that was extremely rewarding to be able to see that progression with her.
Did you feel like she was going to continue to progress when you left?
She was very dedicated to wanting to get better and knew that she had to do this for her family. So I would really bet that she is still working hard on it, and she was really tough and wasn't afraid to keep going even when she was tired.
Jim, I want to bring you back into the conversation. You mentioned that in the afternoons you spent time doing other activities with Cross Cultural Solutions, the overarching organization that helped you plan this trip. What kinds of activities did you do?
Yeah, thanks. Well, that was the great thing about this trip is that we also got to learn in the afternoon. We went and met with I think it's the Wazoza family, and they talked about the history of the music in the area. We had language lessons in the afternoon. In the evening, we had a traditional dance that was performed to us. We had healthcare providers in country come and talk to us about malaria and AIDS. We learned about cooking, the native food. So that's why I think we had the best of both worlds with this this trip, is that we had the educational experience up front, then we had Cross Cultural Solutions who had in-country activities planned for us, and then we had the volunteerism experience also.
I want to continue exploring some of the things that you learned, but I also want an opportunity to invite some other people to be a part of this conversation. Many people have taken service trips around the world, and if you have done that, we'd love to hear about your experience at 866-780-9100. We're talking about volunteerism today, Iowans traveling the world to participate in service projects. And with me in the studio is Jim Cochran of Kirkwood Community College. Lisa DeShano is a student volunteer who went along on the trip to Tanzania with Kirkwood Community College. Dave Hunt also participated in the trip. He's program director for the paramedic program at Kirkwood. And Mike is on the line from Waterloo. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Hi. What your experience have you had?
I am a volunteer. I have been since 1999 with Johnny and Friends Wheels for the World. And in Iowa, we collect mobility equipment, wheelchairs, walkers, canes and crutches. They're taken to a prison in Kansas where they're rehabilitated, rebuilt, and then they're sent overseas. And last October, my son Pat, who's a physical therapist in Iowa City, and I got to go to Cuba. And there were a team of 14 Americans and a group of about 20 Cubans worked together. When we got there, there were 200 wheelchairs that had been sent from a prison in Louisiana. And our job, I was a mechanic, my son's a physical therapist, and our job is to fit the wheelchair to the disabled Cuban. And we were there for a week, and it's just amazing. All the tears, the hugs, the joy, because a lot of these people had birth defects. Some of them even were suffering from polio years ago. And they had no mobility, and we were able to give them mobility.
Clearly, you helped a great deal of people and will continue to do that through this program. Mike, what do you think you took away from that trip?
Oh, if you think of Cuba, I did before I got there. You know, it's a communist country. You think of the East Europeans, dirty little country. It's so vibrant. It's clean. The people were just wonderful. It's kind of, I've described it as, I've given some programs on my experiences. It's just kind of a life-changing experience to have that interaction with another country that we know so little about. I'm going back, in fact, in October. My son and I are going back in October to a different area.
Has it changed how you see your life here?
Sure. I kind of describe myself as a professional volunteer. I do a lot of things in the Waterloo community. But this one is, you know, it's worldwide. It's seeing people in a whole different location. I had a woman who, and I've told this story to a lot of people that I've talked to, told me she got, well, through an interpreter. Of course, I don't speak Spanish. So at 2 in the morning, she got up and carried her son, who's disabled, to a neighbor's house who had a horse and a wagon. From there, they went to the bus stop. and they took us, or the bus took them to the city. We were working in the city of Holguin, and she was there. I saw her probably about 5 in the afternoon, and her son got the first mobility. She had to carry him everywhere. Now she could push him, but she had to return this whole trip again. There were 4 hours on the bus, and then the man would meet her with the horse, but she said, I'll be able to push my son home.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling, the things that we saw and that we got to do.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today.
Thank you.
Jordan is on the line next from Muscatine. Hello, Jordan.
Hi.
Hi, what's your experience?
My experience started in 2008 when I graduated high school. I went to Haiti through an organization called All Hands Disaster Response. And that was in response to the hurricanes they experienced. And since then, I've been back 2 more times in 2009 and 2010 to help with the earthquake disaster relief.
And what do you think you've taken away from this experience?
I guess the poverty of a third world country really is profound. And coming from America, the perspective changes I got on my life have totally changed my life. They've motivated me to volunteer more in my hometown and really just change the way I look at everything around here.
Do you think this will be something that you continue to do in the future, to travel abroad?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually took my brother with me the second time I went, and it was quite a change for him, too. And I would recommend anybody who is in graduating high school or in college who has the opportunity to take a trip like this should absolutely do it.
All right, Jordan. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you.
Lisa, let's go back to you. You were, again, in Tanzania for 3 weeks. You taught in a school with kids between the ages of 3 and 9 in the mornings. You participated in these activities with Cross-Cultural Solutions in the afternoon. What did you take away from this experience?
I think there are so many different things as I think back at all the memories that we created. I think it was really special and important for me to share a part of myself with the people of Tanzania, but also what they shared with me as well was something kind of this cultural exchange, and just being with the children and teaching the children. And it was not only about just teaching them math, but just hugging them and holding them, and just they really wanted to connect with you. And the people and the community were just so excited to just talk with you and practice their English. And just really when you looked at them, they looked back in your eyes and they really wanted to just be a part of who you are. And that was kind of something that I thought was really special that I could bring back with me and something that I could have with me for the rest of my life.
Do you think that it changed you as a person?
I think it did bring me back to really trying to connect with people and their soul and who they are. And yeah, I do. I do think it has.
Dave, what do you think you took away from this experience?
I just think that in general, we kind of take a lot of the things we have for granted and sometimes forget how simple things can make a huge difference. You know, the kids were so happy and the communities were so overall so happy, and really financially they live on very little money, but they learn to play with what they have. You know, kids would play with tires, and they would, you know, I saw a kid with a like ribbon out of a cassette tape tied on a stick, and he was running around and the other kids were chasing after him. So some of the things that we think are so disposable here or throwaway, they learn to have fun with and really are very creative with what they have.
And do you think it changed how you see your life here?
Yeah, I think sometimes we get really focused on the work and jobs and a lot of other things and kind of forget to take time with our friends and family and, you know, put those things maybe second, when what they really do there is put those things first and the rest kind of comes in place. I think there has to really be a good balance to keep everybody kind of happy.
And Jim, how about you? You were the facilitator for all of this, for all the students who went, but obviously it was a powerful personal experience for you as well. What do you take away from it?
Yeah, it was a great experience. I think anyone who's been involved with a trip like this finds it difficult to sum it up in words, the entire experience into one profound thing. But it's all those special little moments that come together to make it so valuable. When I was leaving the school for the last time, the students pulled me into the classroom and they sang a song to me about how mountains never meet, but people forever meet. And the girls started crying, and the boys started making fun of the girls that were crying. And then the boys started crying, and then I almost started crying. And this went on for about 30 minutes. I asked who taught them that song or who told them to sing that to me, and they said, we just came up with it for you. And it's just those little moments that you can draw upon when you're home here and think back to that. It's just so touching. And you know, so maybe to slow down and appreciate the little things more often.
Jim Cochran, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jim Cochran was the faculty leader of this trip to Tanzania in June for Kirkwood Community College in Iowa City. Lisa DeShano, thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa DeShano is a student volunteer who went on the trip. And Dave Hunt, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Dave Hunt also went along on that trip to Tanzania. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk to the executive director of IRIS Incorporated. That's the Iowa Resource for International Service. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe, and you're listening to an archive edition of Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Today, we're talking about voluntourism, Iowans traveling around the world to participate in volunteer efforts. One of the organizations helping Iowans take advantage of these opportunities is Iowa Resource for International Service, or IRIS. It's a nonprofit secular organization based in Ames that was founded in 1993. Del Christensen is the executive director of IRIS Incorporated. He himself has led groups to Armenia, Georgia, Tanzania, and Nigeria. Hello, Del.
Hi, Charity. It's great to talk to you today.
What is the mission of IRIS? What is the point of the organization?
The mission of IRIS is to promote international understanding, development, and peace through the process of connecting Iowans to communities worldwide.
And you do that not just by taking Iowans abroad, but by bringing people from all over the world to Iowa as well, right?
Exactly. A large portion of our work is bringing international guests from all around the world to Iowa on both short-term and long-term programs, and just connecting them with Iowans in the program themes that they're involved in. So we, for example, if we're working with journalists, we will meet with journalism professionals in the state, but also connecting them with just Iowa hometown hospitality, because all of our international guests that come to Iowa live with American host families while they're here and get that close-up cultural experience.
Well, tell me about a couple of the different programs that you have.
We have a couple of large programs going on right now. One is a youth program. It's called it's a U.S. State Department-funded program called the Kennedy Luger Youth Exchange and Study Program, or YES program. And that program brings in students from 30 different countries around the world as part of a high school exchange program. But it's a little unique in that it started back in 2002 and focuses on countries with prominent Muslim populations. And IRIS was one of the lead organizations working to develop that program. And we were the first organization to bring students from sub-Saharan Africa. So we brought students from Nigeria and Tanzania to Iowa for a pretty radical cultural experience for them.
We're talking today mostly about programs that take Iowans to other places. Throughout the history of IRIS, what kind of programs have you had to give Iowans opportunities to go abroad and really do good in places?
We've had several programs where we've been able to do almost a reciprocal exchange. So in most cases, it was a grant program that we had groups from other countries coming to Iowa for a short-term period, and then we were able to do a follow-on project where Iowans were able to go to other countries. One example was in Bulgaria. About 10 years ago, we brought over a group of librarians from Bulgaria to learn about the library system here and especially about the use of electronic media within more modern libraries. And as a follow-on, we had Iowa librarians that were able to go to Bulgaria and started the first ever American-Bulgarian library exchange program.
I would be fascinated to know what the librarians who went to Bulgaria learned.
Many of them said that what they were seeing were libraries similar to what they had seen maybe 10 or 20 years earlier, and just to be able to build in some of the modern aspects of it that we're currently using here helped tremendously.
How do you know what your next project will be? How do you decide?
A lot of it will depend on what grant programs are out there, whether those are federal grants or grants with other governments, and then where the needs are in the different countries that we're working in. For example, we worked on a project in South Sudan just about 3 years ago, and working with some folks from Iowa State University in developing peace education programs and working with the University of Juba in South Sudan, where you have a country that for more than one generation didn't have stable and consistent educational systems going on, and they're trying to reestablish the whole concept of education, and their teachers for the first 2 years were spending most of their time just opening and closing the doors on a regular basis to get students, young people, in the habit of showing up for school again. And so what we were doing was working with the university there and trying to do some teacher training to see where within high school curriculums we can, in elementary curriculums, where we can incorporate peace education concepts.
As I mentioned earlier, you yourself have led groups to Armenia, Georgia, Tanzania, and Nigeria. Can you tell me about one of the trips that you took?
I've taken several trips to Nigeria. We've done a number of adult exchanges there where we had taken female legislators from Iowa to Nigeria as part of a Women in Leadership program. We had elected officials and people that worked in political campaigns go over and talk to the women over there about how they can be involved in politics and how they can play a more active role in the political process, something that they weren't familiar with and were facing some challenges as they tried to do that.
Of course, in a situation like that, the people traveling there from Iowa are going to share knowledge, but I'm sure it's an incredible growing and learning experience for them as well. How did you see the people that you traveled with change and grow?
You know, with every single individual that's traveled in our groups, they've always come back and said, I learned a lot about the country I traveled to, but I learned even more about the world's perspective of my country and how I need to change the way I express what we do here in America to present ourselves in a better light.
You mentioned competing for grants for all of the different programs that you do at IRIS. And, of course, a lot of nonprofit organizations have really struggled to get grants in the last few years with our national recession and really the global economic climate. Have you been facing a lot of challenges because of that?
We've had some challenging times a couple of years ago, but things are starting to work around. There's still grants out there for smaller programs, and IRIS has always maintained a very small but very dedicated staff, so we're able to get some pretty big things done with just a few number of people.
What do you think the most important thing is that IRIS has been able to accomplish?
Well, I think one of the most important things that we've been able to accomplish is bringing out the concept of volunteerism and community service in a number of countries where that concept was not there before. In a number of countries, the philosophy is if something needs to be done in a community, it's the government's responsibility to do it. Or if you're going to help in a community, it's only your family that you're going to help with. And so many of our, especially our youth programs, when they come to Iowa, one of the things that they come out of the year learning is how to volunteer in their own community. And then they take that sense of community service and sense of global citizenship back to their own country and share with others and get other people excited about volunteering in their own country.
Representative Stephen King recently criticized multicultural groups, specifically at Iowa State University, and since you're based in Ames and mm-hmm. in his district, that probably got a little bit of notice, I would guess, around your office, saying that most multicultural groups at Iowa State were victims groups for people who feel sorry for themselves, and that they're out there recruiting our young people to be part of the group that feels sorry for themselves. Representative King's views are not necessarily shared by a lot of people, but in recent years, we have seen a little bit of a backlash against multiculturalism. Are you feeling that?
We hear it from time to time, but we haven't felt it directly with the groups that we have had in Iowa. The groups that we brought to Iowa have been welcomed with open arms, and the volunteers that host those people and the volunteers throughout the state that provide mentorships for those people have come out of it feeling like they've gained from the value of having another culture explained to them. And I just feel like any time we have an opportunity to become more open-minded and to broaden our horizons about other cultures, it's going to benefit us in the long run.
Del, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Charity.
Del Christensen is the executive director of IRIS Incorporated, based in Ames. That's the Iowa Resource for International Service. And we're going to talk to now a football player who traveled to Tanzania last year with IRIS. Cameron Good plays football at Drake University, and he went on that trip. Hello, Cameron.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I got to say, the idea sounds a little bit crazy that this trip was set up so that you could play the first American football game in Africa, in Tanzania, against a professional football team from Mexico. When you first heard about the trip, what was your reaction?
Oh, you know, this was all started from a dream that our coach, Coach Creighton, had. And, you know, I just remember that team meeting and I was frozen. I mean, I didn't know how to react. It was just one of those things that really took me by surprise. But what I came to learn later was, you know, how beneficial this trip really was.
So tell me about your coach's dream. Why did he think that this would be a powerful thing to do?
Well, you know, it was a great team trip, and we as a team came together. We experienced so much with each other, and I really think it helped. It really helped us win our conference championship that following fall.
So you took this trip. How long were you there?
We were there for 2 weeks.
And you played football against a Mexican team. When did the game fall in that 2 week?
The game fell in right in the middle, but, you know, we learned that this trip was really more than just a game. It was just a great experience reaching out with our community service and reaching out to these Tanzanian children.
And I know that you spent 3 days doing service projects. What kinds of things did you do?
Yes. The first day we held youth football clinics teaching over 1,000 Tanzanian children who have never even seen a football before in their life. So that was really fun. And then the next few days, we helped build schoolhouses at various locations around Moshi and Tanzania. That was all organized by Dell and Iris.
Did you hand out a lot of footballs? I would guess there aren't a lot floating around.
Oh, yeah. We actually brought 100 of them and gave them out after the game. And no, it was a very, very fun time. You know, the looks on their faces were priceless.
Well, and clearly it's not necessarily about them learning football. What do you think the kids got out of those activities?
You know, part of this trip, we were in a leading with emotional intelligence class. And what we learned there was, you know, in order, you know, it was tough to communicate due to the language barrier. But we've learned in this class that we can lead people to the right direction by using motivation. So we used a lot of actions and, you know, taught them by having fun, you know, throwing them the football, running up and giving high fives. You know, they had the time of their lives.
And you also did some traveling as part of this trip? Like traveling around, you went to Mount Kilimanjaro, right?
Yes. The trip was concluded with the summit to Mount Kilimanjaro. And, you know, just that alone, as one of the world's tallest mountains, is a challenge itself. But for me personally, I'm not an outdoors type of guy. I mean, I've never slept in a tent before. So to sleep in a tent on a seven-day trek on one of the world's tallest mountains was quite a challenge. But I was very fortunate enough to work with my team. And I was part of the first climbing group to first reach the mountain, and just an amazing feeling.
So a year later or so, a little bit over a year after this trip, do you think about it often?
Oh, I think about it all the time. I mean, you know, it's just like Jim and Dave mentioned earlier in this program from Kirkwood, it really just opened my eyes and made me realize how grateful I am to be living in such a great country, but also go to such a great school as Drake.
Cameron, what's your major?
My major is radio TV production with a concentration in leadership.
Do you think that having this experience will inform the choices that you make in the future after you graduate?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, like I said, it opened my eyes. But, you know, as I said, I was a radio TV major, so I documented my whole trip using a flip cam and put it on my website at camgoodvideo.com. And, you know, I realized that it really helped because it fueled a lot of interaction. I got a lot of views on my videos, and people were loving it as the trip was going on. And it actually helped me gain an internship this past summer with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, terrific. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you think that you'll try to take another trip abroad in the future?
I definitely want to. You know, it's not, you know, even though I crossed this off my bucket list, another trip is still on there back to Tanzania.
How do you think this whole experience changed you as a person?
It really, like I said, it just really opened my eyes, and you know, it changed the way I look at life and how grateful I am for my family, my friends, and the people that influence my life, and how grateful we are because I had an experience with a young boy named Barack where he didn't have shoes that fit his feet. And, you know, I remember that moment, and I looked down at my feet, which were size 14, like Barack's, and I gave him my shoes. And, you know, it's just stories like that that I'm always going to remember, and just trying to affect people's lives here and become a leader.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, Cameron.
Oh, thank you.
Cameron Good plays football at Drake University, and a little over a year ago, he participated in the first American football game in Africa, a trip that was arranged through IRIS Incorporated, the Iowa Resource for International Service. And we got this email from Dave. He says, the Waterloo Rotary Club is now preparing for its 11th trip to Nicaragua, the second poorest country in the Americas. They'll be taking more than 2,000 Christmas gifts, 100 bikes, and nearly 1,000 bags of supplies for new mothers. There are opportunities like this all over the state of Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Allison Sullivan. This is Talk of Iowa.